I would like to certainly ask an interest in your prayers this evening, and I want you to turn with me, if you would, tonight to the sixth chapter of Paul's epistle to the Galatians. And I want to read just a few verses. Galatians chapter 6, and I would like to begin reading with the seventh verse and read through verse 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." And with those verses being read, I want to use a title this evening, and that being God's Promise to the Laborers. And I want to try this evening and tell you what's on my heart. You know, it's my aim tonight to try to lend encouragement to the people of God. You know, sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need to encourage one another. We never need to try to discourage each other or tear each other down, but we do need to try to help each other, and from time to time we need to, you know, try to encourage one another in the work of the Lord. Sometimes we need to be rebuked, don't we? I mean, sometimes the people of God, we need to be preached to, and we need to be preached to hard, and we need to be preached to boldly. And sometimes it's, you know, it's like that. You know, sometimes the Lord will embolden a preacher, and he'll preach a really, you know, hard and straightforward message to those who are not saved. And sometimes we need that type of message. But, you know, I'm persuaded, as I said, that, you know, we need to be encouraged, and we need to encourage each other. And there's plenty of encouragement for us in the Word of God. And I believe that, you know, this promise that is recorded here in Galatians chapter 6 certainly is one of those things that can be of great encouragement to us. So I want you to think about that thought with me. I want to use a few verses of Scripture tonight, but I want you to think about that thought of God's promise to the laborers. And that's what we are, and that's what we are supposed to be doing. The Lord's church is His workforce. The Lord's church is His laborers. And, you know, it's plain from the nature of the Great Commission that the Lord left us in the world to work. He left us here to do His work. And I've always thought about how that, you know, when we read in the book of Genesis about God creating the world, and when it comes to the sixth day of creation, when God created man, you know, we see in that what it was, I believe, that God intended for man to do. You know, God had a purpose for everything that He created. And there are some things that I believe that we have yet to figure out, and maybe we never will figure out exactly why God created something and for what purpose He created it. But I believe that the Bible is very plain about why He created man. What was it that He did with the man? When God took dust from the ground and formed the man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What was it that God did with the man that he had created? Well, he took him. The Bible tells us that God had planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man that he had formed. And he put him there to tend to the garden. He put him there to take oversight and to take care of that which belonged to God. The Garden of Eden belonged to God. It was God's garden. It was God that planted it. And so I think it's obvious, I believe we have an obvious teaching with the first man that ever lived on the earth, that the purpose of man was to work. The purpose of man was to, work, and especially to work and take care of the vineyard of the Lord. And certainly that's what he left the church here for. And the wise man Solomon realized that as man's purpose. He used the word duty, but it means the same thing as purpose. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole purpose of man. To reverence the Lord and to work for him and to, take care of the things that belong to God. And we need to remember that. We need to always remember that the church belongs to the Lord. Amen. It's not yours and it's not mine, it's his. And in the maintenance of it, we need to always remember that we have the responsibility to, take care of something that belongs to the Lord. Now, I know that, sadly enough, in my ministry, and I believe that if you've, been a child of God and been a member of the Lord's church for very long, sometimes we see people do things, in church and try to get things done where it's obvious that all they're after is getting their way and, trying to get across what they want to be done. And that's not the way that we are supposed to tend to the Lord's church, because it's not about us, and it's not about taking care of ourselves. It's about taking care of the things that belong to the Lord. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the only head of the church. He's the only head that the church has ever had. And he's still the head of the church today, and it belongs to him. And so, when we think about the fact that that's exactly what Paul said, and that's what we find recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and here's what he told them. He said, "For we are laborers." In the first words of that ninth verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, "For we are laborers." And he goes on and he says, "Together with God." We are laboring not alone, but we are laboring with God. "Ye are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." And so certainly, as a church, we need to remember that we are a workforce, that we are here to do the Lord's work. And I'm going to tell you something that I believe. I believe that of all the things that are done on the face of the earth, now we live in a world, and it's been this way, throughout the existence of the human race, but we live in a world filled with labor. I mean, somebody's always working at something. We live in a world where there's much industry, and there's all types of work that's going on all the time. But I believe that the work that the church is engaged in is the most important work in all of the world. Amen. There's nothing as important as getting the gospel out to people. And that's the work that the Lord left the church here for. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that commission was given to his church. And, you know, as a member of the Lord's church, we need to realize individually that we are to be God's worker, that we are to be God's labor. You know, God did not just leave the preacher here to labor. He didn't give the commission solely to preachers. He gave the commission to his church. And we all have a responsibility to labor for the Lord and to labor in the gospel. And so in this verse that we have here in Galatians chapter 6, in verse 9, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Now, when we are doing the work of the Lord, now listen, if we're not doing his work, if we're being lazy and we're being lethargic and we're being slothful, if we're not doing the Lord's work, then we have reason to be weary. And, you know, the verse here that tells us that we are not to be deceived in the fact that God is not mocked. If there's anybody here tonight that, you know, doesn't understand what the Apostle Paul was writing there, he was simply saying, you will never get anything over on God. Amen. You've heard the saying when somebody deceives somebody or tricks somebody, they say, boy, I pulled the wool over their eyes. You'll never do that to the Lord. God is never taken by surprise. He's never fooled. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, he said, is what we're going to reap. And, you know, we oftentimes focus on the fact that it tells us that whoever sows to the flesh, of the flesh is going to reap corruption, and certainly that's true. But it also tells us, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then he goes into that verse, let us not be weary in well-doing. And so as I said a moment ago, if we are doing the work of the Lord, we don't need to grow weary. We don't need to be weary in that. But there is a word in this that oftentimes, this word is only made up of two letters, but oftentimes it becomes the biggest word in all of the English language. And that is the condition that's set forth here by the word if. We shall, in due season, we shall reap. Why should we not grow weary in well-doing? Because in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's the promise. There is the promise that God has given to us and the reason why that we should not grow weary in well-doing. Why should we not grow weary in doing the work of the Lord? Because of God's promise that in due season there will be a time of reaping if we faint not. If we faint not, or if we faint, if we grow discouraged, let me encourage you in this. As a church and as individual Christians, you know, in your individual walk with the Lord, don't ever give up. Have you ever seen the cartoon of the big bird? I don't know, it's a big crane or something. He's got this great big old beak, and he's just about to swallow a little old frog. And the frog, you know, the frog is all the way inside the bird's mouth except for his legs, and he's got one of his hands around the bird's neck. choking the bird, and it says, never give up. You know, I mean, that's, you know, that needs to be our attitude in the work of the Lord. We don't ever need to give up. Listen, if there's somebody that you are trying to reach with the gospel, no matter how they respond, don't ever give up on that person. Don't ever grow discouraged. Don't ever throw your hands up and say, it's no use. Just remember what God said in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. I've seen too many people in my lifetime that went for years and years and years and years just refusing to heed, you know, refusing to heed the gospel, refusing to listen to what they were being told, and they end up getting saved. And so, you know, we don't ever need to give up as long as that person is living and breathing. We don't need to give up. So, you know, let's not grow weary in well-doing. And I want to call your attention to some scripture in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, does that mean, have we been given the promise that everybody that we come in contact with, that everybody that we preach the gospel to, that everybody that we reach out to in the Lord is going to be saved? No. I mean, we know that that's not true. I mean, Jesus told us, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But I'll tell you what, in every generation, I mean, you know, in the existence, in the history of man, in every generation, God's word has gone forth and found its place in people's hearts. And there have been people in every generation of time that have been influenced and have been saved. And the preaching of the word is never, it's never something that we do in vain. Ever. God's word does not return to him void. It will have its accomplishments. You know, sometimes we have those situations where everything seems right. I mean, it just seems like that God orchestrates things where all of the pieces are in their proper place. And I believe perhaps this was testified to earlier. You know, let's take, for instance, when we assemble in a worship service. Sometimes it seems that God can give the preacher, you know, the message that is right on target and that it's timely. And when he stands to try to deliver the message, God can help that man. He can aid him by his spirit, and he can help him to preach the message that seems to be just exactly what needs to be heard. There seems to be a stirring among the church, you know, where people begin to stand and testify. The word of God has affected the church, and people stand and they endorse the truth of the gospel message, and they you know, chime in with the preacher in warning people to flee the wrath to come. And the Spirit of God is moving among us, and he's in the songs and he's in the testimonies, and everything just seems perfect for people to get saved, and they don't. They refuse it. And you know, God will allow them to do that. He doesn't force us to be saved. But when those times come, we don't need to grow weary and we don't need to grow discouraged because we, when we are doing those things, we are doing what the Lord left us here to do. And we never need to grow discouraged or grow weary in well-doing. You know, when those times happen, and sometimes, you know, as a church, I mean, sometimes we may go through a slump for a long period of time. But I'll tell you what, when that's happening, we need to reach out with all the faith that we can, and we need to grab hold of that promise of God that we don't need to grow weary in this. If we just keep on keeping on, there'll be a time of reaping. There'll be a time of harvest. You know, sometimes seed is planted, and the fruit of that is not picked for quite a long time. But we need to believe that God's word is having its effect, and that it won't return void, and it'll accomplish the things whereunto God sent it. Psalms 125, verses 5 and 6. Boy, these are good verses. Psalm 125, verse 5 and 6 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Sometimes in my work, and these other brethren here tonight can tell you the same thing. Sometimes in my work in the ministry, in those situations, you know, when, boy, it just seems like all the pieces of the puzzle are there. I mean, it just seems like, you know, sometimes, like it was spoken of tonight, sometimes we have those times like that when we ask ourselves the question, how in the world did those sinners walk away? How did they just turn a deaf ear to that? How could they have not been affected by what was going on there to the point that they would seek the Lord for the salvation of their soul, and that we would be able to witness them gloriously saved? Well, you know, I'm not sure that we can answer those questions. We can ask those questions, but we cannot answer that question because we can't see what's going on in their heart, and we may not know what it is exactly that's hindering that person. But I do know this, whenever that I preach the gospel and people turn a deaf ear to it, the thing for me to do, and the thing for every preacher to do, and the thing for any Christian that's trying to witness to somebody about the grace of God and the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, when that person turns a deaf ear to it, you just look to the Lord and you just resolve that you'll not give up, and you'll just keep hammering away. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things in life that have been accomplished by a dogged persistence. I mean, just keep working and keep working and keep striving and stay persistent and not faint and not give up. We may grow discouraged, you know, at times, no doubt, but we don't need to let the devil ever convince us that we need to just give up, do we? God has made too many promises to us. They that go forth bearing that precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I like this verse in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. Two questions. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Now, you know, if you get a big old rock and put it in front of you and you get you a sledgehammer and you haul off and hit that rock with that sledgehammer, you know what? It may not break the first time you hit it. In fact, you may hit that thing and it may, you know, that rock may stay solid and make you shake and it just may not break. But I'll tell you what, if you take a rock and you just keep hitting it and you keep hitting it and you keep hitting it, it'll eventually break. And I believe that's, you know, what we need to do with the Word of God. We need to just keep swinging the hammer. We need to just keep plowing the gospel plow. We just need to keep preaching to people and keep warning them. Listen, you know, we oftentimes, we try to tell sinners that, you know, you've got to settle this with the Lord while you have the opportunity. And that only comes while you have life and breath in your body. And we need to understand that ourselves, that as long as that person has an opportunity, we need to stay at it. And we need to keep warning them. And we need to just keep telling them, you know, if they die without the Lord, it's too late, isn't it? There's not anything they can do after that, and there's not anything we can do for them. But as long as they're living and breathing, we can reach out to them, because as long as they're living, they have an opportunity. Not everybody, you know, even when Jesus was here on earth in his public ministry, he couldn't even get everybody to listen to him. I mean, there were people that rejected him. You know, to me, one of the saddest thoughts in the scriptures is found, and I'm going to share this with you here in a moment, is found in Matthew chapter 23. I'll tell you what, among the preachers that walk this earth, there's never been another one like Jesus. There's never been another preacher that was able to have the influence. There's never been another preacher when he stood to preach that could have had any more power with God than what the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the greatest preacher that's ever been known, but there were people that rejected him. He even, you know, told the people of his present time, those to whom he, that were alive during his earthly ministry, he even told them that there were going to be nations that were going to rise up against them in the judgment. He said the men of Nineveh are going to rise up in the judgment against his present generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Amen. The Ninevites repented at the preaching of Jonah. I mean, from the king down to the servant, even the king came from down from the throne and put on the sackcloth and ashes, and they repented before the Lord at the preaching of Jonah and rejected the preaching of Christ. Listen, Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 and 38. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. These are the words of Christ. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicken under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. The Lord labored with them, and he reached out to them, and he reached out to them, and he reached out to them, and they just rejected and rejected and rejected, to the point that he said, your house is left unto you desolate. And those that refuse the Lord, the point's going to come when their house is going to be left unto them desolate. I wish that I could get lost people to see just how limited of an opportunity they have to get saved. Their life is so much shorter than what they realize. You know, the opportunity, I mean, it's a limited time offer, isn't it? And that time, you know, comes sooner for some than others, depending on when God calls them from the walks of this life. I want to close with this scripture, make just a few more comments. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2. This is the chapter where Solomon said, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. He said there's a time to plant, and there's a time to pluck up that which is planted. And, you know, I believe this. If there's a planting, there will be a harvest. There's, you know, if the seed is sown, there will come a harvest. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Corinthians, again in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Amen. What happens when we plant and we water? God gives increase. You know, we can't save anybody. We can't. I'll tell you what, I would rather preach my lungs out. I would rather preach till I'm blue in the face. I'd rather preach, to the point that I pass out from preaching and preach the truth to people and let them seek the Lord and find out from God that they really got saved than to grow discouraged and start deceiving people. Amen. That's what happened. That's what happened a lot of times and still happens a lot of times. That's why these people that present the easy believism type of salvation, that's why they can get such large numbers and grow to such big congregations, because they don't want to wait on God. They want to get it done now. They want to give you this right now thing, and they don't want to, they don't want anybody to reject them. They don't want anybody to push them away. They want you to sign up and join up right now. And I'll tell you what, I'd rather be patient and know that people are really getting saved. Amen. I believe God does His work, folks. I believe the Spirit of God does His work. I believe there are people, we may wonder at times, like I said, how could this be? How could they sit through such things as that? When it's urged up on them, like it was this morning, to come to the Lord, how can they reject such things? Well, people today are still like they were in the days of Stephen. When Stephen stood before those people and he said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. You resist Him the same way your fathers did, and people have been doing that for years and years and years throughout each generation. Let me tell you something. A sinner hasn't changed. A lost sinner has not changed. They've always, a person in their lost condition, they have a rebellious spirit. And it's been that way all through time. And, Brother Fugate in his Sunday school class this morning was talking about the statement that Solomon made about nothing new under the sun. And there's not. And, sinners have always resisted the Lord. And they continue to do so today. But I'm thankful that God has the power to bring them down and to lead them to repentance, and we need to just keep laboring, and we don't need to grow weary, and we don't need to grow discouraged if we're doing the work of the Lord. Amen. Now, if you're not doing the work of the Lord, then you need to get weary. If you're not doing the work of the Lord, then you need to start doing it. And as a church, if we're not doing the work of the Lord, then we have reason to faint,
But as long as we're doing His work, we're preaching the gospel, we're praying, we're reaching out, we're doing what we can, according to what He has commissioned us to do, then we don't need to let the devil discourage us. We just need to draw closer to God and just keep on working for the Lord. And those are the things I had to share with the church tonight. I hope that it'll help us in some way. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And, sometimes I think what we forget about, I was thinking about this the other day, sometimes in churches, we might have a low ebb. We may have a time where, there doesn't seem to be much happening, and we may get discouraged, and we may think, well, nobody cares, and nobody wants to listen. But I was thinking the other day, we could hear, at Fairview Memorial, we could call young people up out of the congregation over the last, whatever time you want to set, 10 years, whatever, here, the last 10 years of the church, we could call many people up here to stand in front that have been saved and added to the church. I mean, the Lord does His work. Amen. He does His work. It may not always happen the way that we, would like to see it, but the Lord is on the job. And He's doing His work. And I'll tell you, when the gospel goes forth, a good thing has happened. A good thing has taken place. And so let's just keep on working for the Lord. That's my message. Anybody have anything on your heart tonight? I appreciate all of you being here.